More and more pastors are using AI to help them write their sermons, but that begs the question, should we be doing this? Or does that actually quench the Holy Spirit? Well, let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're asking the question, should pastors use ChatGPT to help write sermons? I think it should be a good conversation, right on the cutting edge of controversy, I would say.
Yeah, it still is.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't know. If I took a poll, I would be, maybe we should do that. We should actually take a poll to see what our audience thinks on that.
I think it's getting less controversial, but it still is.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. So we'll actually have a poll that goes along with this. About should churches do that or not? Is it wrong? I bet you to the casual person that maybe, especially those that don't really write sermons or members, they would say, no, I would never want my pastor to use ChatGPT to help write a sermon. And I want to, like, I guess, distinguish. I was in that camp. Like, I have actually said that boldly on this podcast before. I've said never, ever use AI to write sermons. And I believe that still.
Yeah,
but I also don't believe it anymore. So I still believe that you should not use AI to one-shot a sermon. That is foolish. Right. That's abdicating your responsibility as a pastor. I think that's the wrong thing to do. So by that, I mean typing into ChatGPT, I have to preach a message on Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11.
Yeah.
Please write the sermon for me. Like that's
I'm
a sin.
I'm in a hurry. Get it done.
don't do that.
And please, let it lead people to the Lord.
Yeah.
And here's what I find is like nowadays, the question, it's like not even the right question. Should we be using ChatGPT? I think like the question is like how much AI is acceptable to use in writing a sermon? Because I don't know any pastors that don't use, that have a hard rule where they literally don't have any AI involved in their sermon writing process. Because like if you do a Google search, you're going to get an AI overview that gives you an answer if it's part of your research. If you use spell check to write your message or Grammarly or one of these tools, that uses AI to try and figure out what if they think you mean and like help you to correct that and make some of those changes there.
Yeah.
So we're all using AI. It's just a question of where is the line on what we use. So I think that's the way I think about it.
Yeah, that's funny. The controversy of this still is definitely out there. I follow different ministries over YouTube. I'm not a big eschatology guy or anything. I'm not like super into the end times eschatology.
But you believe
studies.
Jesus is going to come back though, or
I definitely believe he's going to come back, and I believe everything in the Book of Revelation. meaning, it's not a big thing for me. However, I came across, and I won't name any ministry. There's a couple of ministries I followed that they are contending that they feel like the mark of the beast is already prepared and that the vehicle of that is going to be coming through AI and that potentially the beast, if you will, and the false prophet will be emerging from this as kind of a half human, half AI type thing. Now, I won't go into any other details. I kind of chuckled at this video more than anything. But just the fact that there are a lot of those out there shows it's still controversial. So when you bring up sermon prep for it, if someone's believing that the vehicle of the enemy and the mark of the beast is coming through AI, I could see how if you believe that as a pastor, potentially you may stay away from it altogether. But
I don't mean to dismiss it. Like,
I'm
actually like quite sympathetic to that kind of thinking. I think that there's a good chance that this is going to be so world changing.
Right.
What's coming with AI that, I do think that could be a possibility. I don't get into a lot of the predictions and stuff on end times and that kind of stuff. But I don't get into trying to guess what they are or when he's coming back and that kind of stuff. I don't look at that as much as some do. But I'm sympathetic to what they're saying on that. But we probably should distinguish here too when we're talking about the title of this. We're talking about ChatGPT a lot. I personally don't even really use ChatGPT for my sermon writing. I do use it a lot, just not for sermon writing. I do use Claude more for sermon writing because I think it's better.
He's good. He's been baptized. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Claude would be a. I don't know what denomination he's Claude would be a part of.
He's the redeemed AI. Yeah.
No, none of them are very conservative. I imagine maybe some people will tell me that Grok is the one that I should be using because it's the one tied to Elon Musk or something. But I don't know. I use Claude. I think it's a better writer than the other systems. Yeah. I pay for both Claude and ChatGPT. I have different use cases for them. I do think that it is something that we need to wrestle with as to like where is that line on AI that's acceptable for pastors to be using. I know that I am... I don't think it's taken away from my experience in writing my sermons, but I think that it has changed the way I'm writing sermons. And I feel like it's giving me like really good opportunities to have encounters with the Holy Spirit, which is part of my sermon writing process. So I'll give you kind of a quick breakdown of what I have always done and kind of how AI has got into that a little bit. So my process is one where I spend a few hours with just the text. Now, again, I'm an expository preacher typically, so I have I've been assigned a book of the Bible or a passage in a book of the Bible that I'm going to be preaching on, and my goal is to make the intent of the original author, make that clear to my audience, and then pull out practical application for today for our audience. And so in that context, I spend a couple of hours in the text, praying over it, observing, writing down, or I probably use Whisperflow to kind of give some of my observations. It's another AI tool that helps me transcribe what I'm thinking about things. I will just kind of observe the text and come up with notes on that. And then I will compile that usually into a 3-point outline. And I've done a whole video actually about how I write sermons and the system that I use to do it. So you can check that out here. But usually it's going to be a 3-point outline that has a scripture on each point, a scripture, an observation about that scripture. It's going to have some kind of a story or illustration of that observation, and then it's going to have an application for what someone would do as a result of observing that in the text there. So really a simple format that I have, and I have found AI to be helpful in a handful of ways to incorporate. I mentioned Whisperflow, bringing that into it. That's a kind of AI that I use, but I still do all of those things that I just said. So I still observe the text. Yeah. I still think about illustrations. I sometimes ask for help from AI for coming up with illustration ideas, but I always pray about them first and think about what they're going to be.
Yeah.
I am the one coming up with the application of what that should mean. So that's all between me and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think just the AI, I use it as a tool to help me kind of the packaging side of things, as an assistant to help me package it. Think of it as if you had a pastoral intern that you wanted to bounce ideas off and say, what do you think of something like this? And asking an intern those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
That's the way that I would approach ChatGPT on these things. So my thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Even as someone who hasn't preached in a while, when I was actively preaching, this wasn't around, so it's been a few years. But at the same time, I'm using ChatGPT more and more every day. As a matter of fact, just what I love about it, it hasn't totally replaced Google for me, of course, for certain things, but it just formats and organizes like the response so well for me. Like I had an issue with my stereo system, my surround sound system, and trying to troubleshoot it. It just I love the way that it organized all the steps for me and everything to take and everything. But I think of that for a message. You know, you just said you didn't say format or, but you said how it packaged it. The structure of it, I think, can really help a lot of pastors, how it can organize it and help it be delivered. But I know we're going to go into some, we have 6 specific ways to go into it. But
why don't you share those with us? Let's get into those.
Yeah. So first one is brainstorming ideas and outlines to use it for that. Yeah.
Okay. So this is like one that it's kind of a line here for me. Like I think that it is good for brainstorming ideas. Like, so if I'm looking, one thing I've done is I use it for helping me with illustrations sometimes.
Yeah.
So I might ask it a question. Like, I've done my observation. I have my main point that I want to say, I want to get across here. And I might ask AI, hey, I'm trying to think of an idea about how I can illustrate this. Can you maybe ask me some questions to help pull out of me an illustration that goes along with this point I'm trying to make about Romans chapter 8 verses 3 or whatever, whatever that would be. So I never would say, give me an illustration or come up with a story that illustrates this point. That I think crosses the line. But then having it prompt me with questions to pull illustrations out of me, I actually like that. I think that that's something that's been helpful to me to pull out these kinds of things. So for me, that's how I would use it as a brainstorming tool. I'm not comfortable abdicating that role of being the creator of the illustration. But if I can use it as a tool to help me, to help it pull it out of me, I do like it that way.
Yeah, hard to think of some. It may help you remember a story or something that happened back in the past and how the Lord worked through you and all that. So, yeah,
so here's, I agree. Here's one, like, I'll give you kind of an example. I did a message on the prodigal son. And it was, I was trying to talk about, like, it was in conjunction with the passages about the lost sheep and the lost coin. I just talked about something. I was looking for an intro to this message and I told it about, hey, I'm preaching a message about things that are lost and I want to come up with an illustration about it. So ask me questions. And here's a trick I always use is ask me questions one at a time to help pull out of me a story that might make a good introduction for this message.
Yeah.
So it'll ask me questions and I wound up telling a story about a time I lost my son at a pumpkin patch in Texas,
remember.
Actually.
I was with you.
You remember? Yeah.
It was there a scary time.
It was. So,
just like we lost my son when we were surfing with you guys. He got pulled down.
That's true, here in Hawaii. Yeah,
that's
it was
right.
A scary moment there too, but yes, it was. I knew he was fine. He was a strong swimmer, but
your son though at that time was very young and so
long story short, we found him. We were pushing a pumpkin in his stroller and not my son. We thought it was my son. It felt like the same weight, but in fact it was a pumpkin and my son was off hanging out with all the ladies.
That's right. That's right.
My 18-month-old son. So
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So next one would be fine. We started. We prompted other stories, memories. There you go. So that was the example. So finding related Bible verses.
Yeah, this is a winner for me. I'm fine with this. Like, I've been Googling these kinds of things for years. Like, I used to
alter the verse or anything. Right. So
yeah, we don't want that. Yeah. But like, I've been. I think like most pastors, I'm okay if I can't remember a verse, or maybe I'm looking for a verse on a specific topic.
Yeah.
Like here at ReachRight, for instance, we have several blog posts. These used to be effective ways to get people onto our site and connect with them. Like we have a blog post that's called, 77 verses about giving and generosity. And so people would look for that kind of content. They'd do a Google search and they'd find a verse about generosity and be able to share it with their churches or wherever they were trying to share it. So I think I've done that a lot. This is just a more seamless way to do it. And it is better researched in most cases. So if I'm preaching a message on, again, this prodigal son, lost sheep, lost coin, those kinds of messages, and I'm looking for other verses in the Bible that deal with things that were lost, it'll probably find those three, but I'm sure there's other ones in the Old Testament that it can help me that I can't even think of, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with using it in a tool as a tool in that way, just as a kind of a research assistant to help me find those kinds of things. So, makes sense.
Agree. That one I don't think should be too controversial, as we were talking about. So, making each point more memorable, like alliteration and stuff,
Yeah, so this, maybe some people will have a problem with this, but I find this to be helpful for me. I am not great at coming up with alliterations. This is really just not my strong suit of thinking of, you know, how can I get all my points to start with the letter A? Or how can I get these all to rhyme in a certain way?
Yeah.
But AI is pretty good at that kind of stuff. And it's never been something that I've really valued very much, like as a listener. Like, I don't really, the four P's of having faith or whatever it would be. I don't remember it that way, but a lot of people do. And so I have used it to help me kind of, I will have my points a lot of times. This is what I did on my last message. I'll have my 3 points outlined, but they'll be just kind of like, you know, just words that like, they don't necessarily sound good together.
Yeah.
So another message I just preached, it was about, Jesus and, the call, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And so it talked about how Jesus had compassion when he looked out at people, and he wanted to make sure that everybody knew the calling was for everybody, and our first response should be to pray. So those three things don't really sound good together. I put kind of my points into AI and had it kind of help me brainstorm some ideas on ways that I can alliterate this and make the points more memorable without changing the meaning of what I'm going to talk to. So my content's going to be the same thing. I just came up with like a cleaner way to say each one of the main points that make it more memorable for my audience there. So I didn't feel bad about that. Maybe some people will. Like, that is something that if I, you know, I suppose if I spent a couple of hours and prayed about it, I probably could come up with something that was as good or maybe even better than AI. But I think my time was better spent in other ways. And so that's why I use AI for that. But let me know in the comments if you think I'm wrong.
You're just
on that.
Less spiritual, Thomas.
Probably.
That's it. So, but kidding. So, all right. Simplifying complex concepts. Is it good for that, for a message?
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer, for the most part, doing my own thinking on this. I don't know that I use it much in this way. Like, so if I like were to read a passage in scripture that, you know, maybe in Romans, a lot of people have a hard time with Romans or Hebrews or some of those more challenging, or maybe even Revelation, but I don't really think it's a good idea to use it for Revelation. It might come up with crazy ideas there. I don't know. Simplifying topics, like if it's a tough topic, chances are there's a lot of different opinions on the topic. And so I don't know that I would trust AI. It might be good for like getting the context behind it. So maybe let's just choose something like predestination. Let's deal with that topic, right? So if I'm reading a passage and I'm teaching on it and it like it talks about those he predestined is what it says in scripture, right? And so there's entire enormous theological books that are written on this topic. I think it's appropriate if you want to give your church some context on the different sides of the coin of predestination and just kind of like think for a second about, oh, what do Calvinists believe and what do Arminians believe and kind of where's the difference in these places, to use it to kind of break that down and do some quick research. I'm fine with that. But if you're going to use it as like a way to formulate your opinion on difficult passages of scripture, probably not. I think you got to do the work on that and use it as a research, maybe a starting point on some of these things.
Yeah.
But probably not as kind of your source material for how you're going to form your opinions. I would not do that with an AI that is not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So my two cents.
Yeah, agreed. And
which no AIs can be, by the way. No AIs can be baptized or full of the Holy Spirit. So just I didn't want to imply that some are and some aren't. Even Claude.
Good that you clarified that, because someone may have heard it that way for sure. But no, and I had like in mind that might help the kind of pastor that's really they're just more the theologian type, the teaching type heavy, and might help them kind of simplify some of those concepts or put it into more relatable terminology, you know. So, but I'm with you on that.
I could see that. I think that the rub is like usually when you simplify things, it has to be simplified, but it can often water it down or lose it. Like a famous version of this is people using illustrations to try and explain the Trinity, like a very complex topic. And if you went to ChatGPT and said, hey, give me an illustration to explain how the Trinity works in Christian teaching and explain it to me like I'm an 8-year-old, it's probably going to come back with something like, well, you know how water is also vapor and also ice, but it's all three the same thing. Really, that's not what the Trinity is. And that's that's actually a heresy is what that would teach. So I think that's kind of my thinking on that, is that I'd be cautious on those things. But I think it'd be an interesting experiment, and it's nothing wrong with you actually trying it out and seeing it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't take it as a teaching I would use.
Yeah, agreed. So, this next one, organizing research and notes. What is it good for that?
I like it a lot for this.
I was going to say, to me, that sounds like one of the best ways to use it.
Yeah. So I still do my observations. Like I said, when I write my messages, I will observe kind of like point by point. So usually when I submit, I'll copy and paste a ton of my content into AI, Claude specifically for me, but ChatGPT if you prefer. And it'll usually be like, my first point is about Jesus shows compassion, and I'll have all of my observations I had from the text, any illustration ideas I have on that, and then I will have it put it into a format for me that makes sense. One thing I tried this last time is I took my entire transcript of my message that I preached without a lot of notes and had it give, like, take that transcript and put it into notes that I can use on stage. Just like really simple notes, like a one pager, so I don't get lost on things. It was really great for that kind of an experience as well. So yeah. I think it's a useful tool that way. Some people, I think you could overuse that, like where the line between organizing and writing is, I don't know. But I think that, I like using it for organizing, and I'm fine with it for me.
Okay. Yeah, agreed. I thought that might be one of the best things for it. So last one here is creating supplemental content. Maybe what we mean is like helping summarize a message or come up with discussion questions. Thoughts on that, Thomas?
I like it as a rough draft. I'll say that. So this is something I do is at my church when we preach a sermon, we'll get into YouTube, we'll take the entire transcript of the sermon, we'll plug it into AI, and we'll say a prompt to the effect of, you are a world-class discussion guide generator helping churches make really great discussion guides for their small groups. Take the transcript of the sermon and write an icebreaker and four really engaging questions that'll help small groups have a great discussion and pull out some of the same applications that are unpacked in the sermon. So a prompt like that, I think, would be really useful. I would not just not read the results and paste it into our small group discussion guide and call it good. I would absolutely proof it, but I think it would get you 90 to 99% of the way there with a few edits. You can probably make it so that it's really fantastic and something that anybody would like to share and use and actually make really good discussions. In fact, better ones than I would come up with my own in most cases. So,
yeah. Agreed. No, this is good stuff. Hopefully.
Okay.
My hope after this is that it's less controversial for pastors. Again, we've clarified, some of the points, right? So we don't condone using it for everything, but for some things, right? So
yeah. So here's what I would like. If you are part of the Retried family here, let us know where you draw the line. Like, do you think I'm over the edge on any of these and kind of getting into dangerous territory? Do you use it for even more than I do? I have a hard time hearing anybody defend just zero AI allowed in my life at all, because we all use it. It's part of everyday life. It's on your phone. Yeah. It's on Google. It's everywhere you use it. So the question is, how much can you use it? And so I'd love to hear where you draw the line. This is where we draw it. Give us your feedback. Let us know down in the comments. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Thanks for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.